This is week one, class three of Dreams and Visions. Let's pick up here on page three, where we're talking about sleep enabling the mind to retain a sense of systematic thought. Memory blocks are removed. Worry and stress are suppressed with peace. This is one of the reasons why a lot of people who are dealing with depression want to sleep a lot. It's because sleep helps them to cope. Well, that's why drug addicts, alcoholics sleep a lot. It's not just because they're hungover and drunk. It's because sleep actually helps the problematic thoughts to be put at ease. And in computer language, sleep is similar to defragmenting a hard drive. If you've ever done that, if you've ever defragmented your hard drive, before you start to defragment, it shows you how messed up your computer hard drive is. You know, things here need to be put together and all that. Well, sleep kind of does that to your mind. It defragments your mind. That's why a lot of people seem to have the ability, well, actually we all have the ability if we learn how to do it this way, to use sleep to our advantage. People that are going through a lot of confusion, now granted, we know about praying in the Spirit and everything else, okay? But the body is designed to help us in that way also. So if we combine the body's natural ability in these areas with the spiritual things that God has given to us, it enhances our ability to, you know, God's not given us, He's not the author of confusion, okay? And we've not been given a spirit of fear again to bondage. And so through the spiritual things He's given us in conjunction with the way our body is just naturally designed, we can have a whole lot healthier mind. Not just, you know, a brain, but I mean a mind. In sleep deprivation, preventing or going without sleep is very dangerous. Cognizant thought becomes increasingly difficult. Have you ever stayed up really late? It's like, you can't think straight, and you have to ask somebody to repeat themselves maybe two or three times. Cognizant thought becomes increasingly difficult. Giddiness and silliness can be demonstrated. You ever been around people that are really tired and act like they're drunk? Just act real goofy, okay? That's because the body is telling them, look, I need some sleep. A type of temporary insanity can develop. Now, it's probable that no one here or even listening to this has ever gotten to this point. But if you deprive somebody of their sleep, they actually begin to demonstrate over a period of time. Now, this may take as much as 48 hours, but they begin to demonstrate signs of insanity. And it's a really interesting phenomenon. Illogical decisions and actions begin to seem logical. Motor skills begin to diminish. I mean, they can actually start acting like that they're drunk. The body begins to dysfunction. A lack of appetite. The inability to retain food even after you eat it. And actions similar to being drunk. And ultimately, death can occur. And it's the body. Let's see here. If a person goes through starvation, the body demonstrates certain things. For example, I read or saw a thing on TV not too long ago about a shrine in, I think it's Tibet, where there is a Tibetan monk. It's like up on a mountain in a little house. Well, it's not even a house. It's like a shack. It's not even half the size of this room, where this guy is sitting with his, it's like he's sitting kind of hunched like this, but he, you know, his backside's on the ground too, and he's dead, but he's mummified, and they couldn't figure out what in the world happened to this guy. And so they started doing some research, and the whole thing was documented on TV. In fact, what they showed on this documentary is the first time that this mummified monk has ever been shown publicly, because it's considered a holy shrine now by the Buddhist and, you know, all that. And so they started talking to other Buddhist monks, and they got in touch with one who is the head of a monastery. And he's recognized as being like maybe the top monk for the Buddhist in the world today or something like that. And they asked him about the form of meditation that this other monk might have done. And other monk, the dead one, had a scarf around his neck. And they took a little piece of that scarf and a little piece of his skin tissue, did some tests, figured out he's about 500 years old. And the monk that they were talking to said, well, this is probably a form of tantric meditation. And in tantric meditation, they actually use their mind to start shutting their body down. It's some weird stuff here. Well, it's demonic. And they believe that you can go so far into this meditation that your spirit begins to cause your body, the energy from your spirit begins to cause your body to change colors to be something like a rainbow, and that in this flash of light and energy, your spirit will leave the body and enter nirvana. It's some weird stuff. Well, anyway, what they figured out was that this monk had literally starved himself through this meditation, because as they tested the body, they found out that this starvation had caused the body to mummify itself. It was a very strange phenomenon. Likewise, when you deprive somebody of sleep, the body begins to take on some characteristics and it begins shutting down the vital organs. One by one, it'll start shutting down blood flow. Your body will start shutting down everything to try to keep at least the heart and the lungs still active. Your mind won't even be functioning right. And the last thing to go will be the heart and the lungs. And they will stop, simply stop, because the body has not had the ability to rejuvenate itself through the sleep. This can be a very dangerous thing, because if a person starts approaching this, they can actually get to the point of not being able to sleep. That's when sleep almost has to be miraculously induced by God or induced by drugs to force the person to become unconscious and to maybe even keep them unconscious with drugs until the body has time to restore itself. But death ultimately can take place when a person is deprived of sleep. Now, since external stimuli are essentially eliminated, sleep is an excellent time for our spirit to receive ministry from the Holy Spirit and transfer information to our mind. Now, here's what happens. All throughout the day, you are constantly bombarded by the things of the world. Now, I'm not talking just sin. I'm just talking, you know, the natural things. The wind blows, okay? You hear the wind rustling through the leaves. That's something of the world. Dogs barking. I mean, whatever it is, smells, temperature changes, all of this is constant input, constant stimuli to your mind. Now, your mind is designed to respond to those things in some way, shape, or form. As you are receiving that kind of input, it can make it difficult for your mind to receive instructions from your spirit. Now, this is another reason why to pray in tongues, because it helps you to become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to your spirit, your new nature. Well, anyway, when you go to sleep, you are no longer receiving that massive amount of natural input, and your mind is shutting down. Once that happens, see, your spirit never sleeps. Once that happens, the Holy Spirit is then able to give information to your spirit. And not only that, but your spirit is now better equipped to receive that information. Because as you're having all of this natural input, spiritually, you are distracted. And it's harder sometimes to concentrate. You can, but it makes it a little bit more difficult to concentrate on the things of the spirit with all of that external stimuli taking place. The mind is no longer hindered by the natural boundaries of space, time, and energy. Now, this is extremely important. Anybody here ever flown in a dream? Anybody here ever been Superman or Superwoman, you know, in a dream? I've had dreams, okay? Now, I was never very good at basketball when I was a kid. I mean, ever, as an adult. Just was never very good at basketball. Other sports, yes, but for some reason, basketball, I guess maybe I just didn't practice enough or whatever. But boy, I'm telling you what, in my dreams, I could whoop Michael Jordan one-on-one anytime. I can slam dunk, I can twirl around, I can do all kinds of stuff in my dreams. And I have. I can remember, you know, I don't know what it is, but I had a dream one time to where I'm playing basketball, and I jumped. And when I jumped, I mean, I literally jumped over the backboard, and I missed the basket. Crazy stuff, all right? Have you ever had a dream, and you were at point A, and the next instant, you're like hundreds of miles away at point B? Just, I mean, instantly. That's, now this very important to keep in mind when it comes to understanding dreams. That is because you are no longer in your dreams, when you're sleeping, you are no longer receiving input of the natural world, which enforces on you the natural boundaries and limitations of this natural world. In the realm of the natural world, you can't fly. You can't run faster than a speeding bullet. You can't leap tall buildings in a single bound. You can't do these things. But in the realm of the spirit, you can pass through natural matter if you need to. You say, well, how do you know that? What happened with Jesus? After he rose from the dead, the apostles were all in the room hiding because of fear of the Jews, and instantly there's Jesus right there with him. How did he get in there? Well, he got in there somehow. He didn't knock on the door and say, y'all, may I come in? He was just there. In your dreams, you are more conscious of your spirit's potential than your body's limitations. That's why you can do crazy, wild, unbelievable things in your dreams, but in the realm of the natural, you can't even come close to doing anything like that. It's because no longer are you receiving input that says, no, you can't jump off this building and fly. You will fall and go splat. No, you can't run that fast. You can't jump that high. You can't do this. You can't do that. But once you enter into sleep, those boundaries are removed, and the Holy Spirit can then begin to show you things that you can do. Now think about this for a minute. Things that you dream, the imagery presented are oftentimes things that are contained in the Word of God. For example, in the Word of God, Jesus said, if he had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, be removed, it'll be gone. Say to the sycamine tree, be gone, it'll be gone, and all that. He's saying, you know, you can say it, and it will happen. In the realm of the natural, the boundaries and limitations that are constantly imposed upon us by the realm of the natural tell us this can't happen. In Mark 11, it says, what you speak, you can have. If you believe, what you speak, you can have. Now, this is God's word to us. In the realm of the natural, we are told this can't happen. But once you enter into sleep, you have removed all of those boundaries, and speaking to a tree or a mountain, be thou removed, can now become a literal reality in your life. Symbolism in your dreams. Things that happen that shouldn't happen and can't happen in the realm of the natural, I don't even know if I could even make up a good example. But something that moves, or something that you supernaturally move because you're suddenly Superman, the symbolism of those things in the dream could be the Holy Spirit trying to tell you the problem you're facing in the natural means nothing in the realm of the Spirit. This is a mountain that you can remove, just like Jesus said. When we begin to understand this, and we begin to see the reality of this, we can begin to grasp that the Holy Spirit can be showing us in our dreams, or even our... See, you pray in tongues, you've got all this information, you read the Bible, all this information stored up in your spirit. It's trying to get to your mind. Let's just say it this way. It's trying to dispel unbelief, okay? You get into a dream, and all of a sudden, unbelief isn't as dominant as it is when you're awake. In the realm of the spirit now, your spirit is going to be communicating to your mind, here, let me give you a parable of images to help you deal with this situation. I, your born-again spirit, will now be communicating to you, you unbelieving soul, and telling you, mind, what's really possible if you'll just act on what God has been telling you all these years. And so we begin receiving this kind of information from the realm of the Spirit to our mind, so that when we wake up, we can begin to see things a whole lot differently. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. A lot of people don't understand how that happens. It's because it's a spiritual thing that takes place. And I'm firmly convinced, though I don't even know I have Scripture that can solidly, you know, prove this, but I'm firmly convinced that one of the best things for Christians is to sleep, because the faith that has come from the Word of God into our spirit can begin to impact our thought process as far as what we believe God can and cannot do. Now, in the atmosphere of sleep, the Holy Spirit can confirm to our mind, through our spirit, God's will and plans for our lives. That's because everything that God wants you to do starts off as a, I'll put it this way, as a spiritual thought. In other words, it's God's plan in His mind for you. He can begin to give you His ideas, His plans in the realm of sleep in a way that you cannot receive them in the natural. No, wait, let me correct myself. You could receive them if you understood how to be more spiritually sensitive to His voice, okay? But in the realm of sleep, the Holy Spirit can convey these things to us. And it's going to be from spirit to spirit, Holy Spirit to our spirit, and then from our spirit to our mind. That's how it works. This information can be transferred to us. Let's talk about visions. In the Bible, the word vision appears 73 times, and the word visions appears 24 times. This includes the terms night vision or night visions and the use of these words as they pertain to hopes and desires. A night vision is essentially the same thing as a dream. A vision can also take place when a person is awake. We've talked about this earlier. And visions are usually not as abstract as dreams. Everyone dreams, but everyone may not have a vision. I mean, science has proven everybody dreams, but I don't know that I can, at this point now, I don't know that I can state that everybody is going to have a vision, an open vision or an inner vision. I don't know that I'm going to say that, but I will say this. I firmly believe it is highly likely that everyone will have a vision of some type at some point in time in their life. But the one thing you want to enhance that, just keep praying in the Spirit. And it's going to help you to become more spiritually aware to things that God wants to do in your life. But the one thing you don't want to do is seek visions. That's not a good thing. Because if you're seeking after visions, I am of the opinion Satan would be more than willing to accommodate you and help you out. So you don't seek visions. Just seek the presence of God. Just seek His face. You know what I'm saying? And the more you do that, the more balanced you're going to stay in your life. You're not going to get off in left field. What God has said about dreams. Look in Psalm 16. Let's take a look at some verses here. Very important verses. Psalm 16. Look at verse 7. It says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Well, in the night season, this is a King James-y way of saying in sleep. Now, where it says, my reins also instruct me, this comes from a Hebrew word that means my mind or my thoughts, the thoughts in my mind, that kind of a thing. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My thoughts, reins, also instruct me in the night season. So David's talking about in dreams, God is speaking to me while I'm sleeping. Look over in Psalm chapter 17, verse 3. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Now this phrase, thou hast visited me in the night, is talking about an encounter with God while you're asleep. It's not talking about, well, when the sun went down, God came by and paid a visit. No, it's talking about, in my sleep, you have visited me. Now, let me just stop and interject this right here. As I mentioned earlier tonight, it's very possible for people to get really goofy on this whole thing of visions and dreams. But I will say this. You can have some very powerful encounters with God in your dreams. Now, what we're going to do in this course is, one of the things later on, is learn how we can enhance our opportunities and abilities to receive from God in dreams, to understand God in dreams, and to make ourselves more accessible to His ministry while we are sleeping. All right, now let's move on here. Job 33. Turn over there. Job 33, verses 14 through 18. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet a man perceiveth it not, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumberings upon the bed. Then He openeth the ears of men, and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Now look at this. This is incredible insight. God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not, in a dream, in a vision of the night. When deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men, and sealeth their instruction. I don't know how much more clear we need it. I mean, it's right there in Scripture. God ministers to you while you're sleeping. Now look over in Joel chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2, and we won't look in Acts chapter 2, because it's basically the same thing that we'll see here in Joel. Joel 2, verse 28, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit." Now God is telling us right here that people are going to have dreams and people are going to have visions. Again, God is sharing with us in His Word that He's going to minister to people through dreams and visions. This is something that a lot of people just flat out don't understand in the body of Christ. As a result, there are a lot of Christians, they do put very little value on dreams and criticize the study of dreams. Now, let me just throw this in. 2 years ago, this course that's being taught now was presented as a special seminar by the Bible College, and Katrina Wilson came and taught it. Well, it has evolved now into this course that's being taught, and we obviously adopted it as a course. Well, after the seminar was over, I had some students come to me and say, "I really wasn't sure what to make of this, because I've always associated this kind of stuff, study of dreams and all, with New Age and all that. But now I understand that there's something spiritual to this." Now think for a moment with me. Just think only of the verses we just read in Scripture. We as Christians should have already known that God ministers to us through dreams. So why is it that so many Christians don't know this? I mean, it's right here in the Word of God. Whether you have teaching on it or not, it's still right here in the Word of God. Why is it that we don't? It's because it's not taught. And most people, most non-believers now, just do not understand anything about dreams. And yet there it is. Think about, and we'll see this later on, all the different dreams in the Bible, things that happened, that God appeared to people in dreams, spoke to people in dreams. Remember Joseph, the dreams he had. Abraham had dreams. Daniel, I mean, on and on. How many, it happened in Scripture. Why do we think it wouldn't happen today? Why, especially after God said this is how He did, especially in the last days. Dreams, visions, and all this. Why should we think that God isn't going to do it? Well, here in the outline, these kind of criticisms come up. It's getting involved with spiritism. It's all New Age philosophy. It's opening the door of your mind and spirit to the devil. Well, it can be, yes. And we'll talk about that in a few moments. It can be. But God has said in His Word, He speaks to us in dreams. He gives us instructions in dreams. He ministers to us in dreams. So, with that being true, for crying out loud, we ought to want to know about this. Because if I can get instruction from God in my dreams, then praise the Lord, turn out the lights, let's go to sleep. Let's take a little nap here. Let's receive instruction from God. Let's do this. We should want to understand about dreams and how to interpret our dreams. Since God ministers to us in dreams and visions, we are in error not to study and understand one of God's methods of communication. Think about that. He has said in His Word, He communicates to us through dreams and visions. Therefore, since He has said that, if we dismiss it as being of the devil, what are we saying about God? But in the body of Christ, these kinds of thoughts and concepts exist when it comes to studying and interpreting dreams. Oh no, you're getting out there in left field. Well, now wait a minute. I remember that guy named Joseph. And he had a dream. You remember the cows and all this other kind of stuff? And he didn't have that dream. The Pharaoh had the dream, but Joseph had the dream about, you know, the stars and all this other kind of stuff. And, you know, God gave him the interpretation. Now, there was symbolism in those dreams, but yet he understood what those dreams meant. And God was showing him his plan for him the rest of his life, you know, what was going to happen here. Well, Christians may very well, or Satan would want Christians to be leery of studying dreams and visions. Obviously, because he knows we can receive instruction from God in our dreams. So sure, he wants to get us diverted into thinking, oh no, now don't you do that. That's worshiping me. You know, don't you do that. That's New Age stuff. Christians may very well be missing God's will and plan for their lives if they do not understand dreams and visions. Have you ever thought of that? Think of it this way. How many times has God laid out his plan for your life in a dream, but because you did not understand dreams, you missed what God was trying to tell you? That's almost frightening. It's not, but it sure makes you think, you know. Thank God for this course, because this is going to help us understand times that God speaks to us. Sadly, the secular world, including science, New Agers, and Spiritists, actually have a better understanding of dreams and visions. Many scientists have relied on dreams to solve their problems. Rene, and I butchered this guy's last name. Every time I try to pronounce it, Descartes. If I'm going to butcher it, I'll just do it good. Praise God. On November 10, 1619. He had three dreams. In the third, the Spirit of Truth, now this was his own writing, the Spirit of Truth showed him the treasury of science from which he developed his ideas for the Cartesian plane and the geometry of coordinates. Now those of you that are very into science, you know what this is talking about. For the rest of us, we don't have a clue. But the things that you study in geometry today are traced back to this dream that he had. Isn't that amazing? Niels Bohr reports that he developed the model of the atom based on a dream of sitting on the sun with all the planets hissing around on tiny cords. Okay, you've seen the design, the model of the atom and the electrons and the protons, I mean, all that kind of stuff happening. The model for that came as a result of this dream. Elias Howe. Howe, the inventor of the sewing machine, wrote that he got the core idea, the breakthrough concept, from a dream. It was a nightmare. He had been captured by cannibals. They were preparing to cook him, and they were dancing around the fire, waving their spears. Howe noticed at the head of each spear there was a small hole through the shaft, and the up and down motion of the spears, and the hole remained with him when he awoke. The idea of passing a thread through the needle close to the point, not at the other end, was a major innovation in making the mechanical sewing machine possible. Think about that. He had a dream and invented that. Isn't that incredible? And these are, if you get on the internet and you start looking, you know, dreams, interpretation of dreams, you know, scientific dreams, all this kind of stuff, all kinds of things are going to start coming out. Now, I'm going to warn you ahead of time, you're going to run into some really weird stuff out there, okay? And some of the things you're going to run into, I have yet to find, now wait a minute, maybe I did find two. I'll put it like this. Nearly all of the sites that deal with dreams and interpretation of dreams and so forth are not sites established by Christians. It's because the body of Christ generally has no clue in this. Because of that, some of these things, if you go out and look around, I'm just warning you now, you may encounter some stuff you do not want your kids to read, okay? Some weird stuff is out there. Well, a lot of it is purely demonic. But anyway, New Agers and Spiritists encourage dream study. Spirit guides are contacted in dreams. Dream control and manipulation are taught. This is one of the most incredible phenomena. I do not recommend this. I'm very cautious about giving this kind of information out because there are a lot of Christians that are so immature they just will do any kind of stupid stuff. Have you ever heard of the man Carlos Castaneda? Okay. Where Carlos Castaneda has written a series of books. He was a student at UCLA. Now, this took place maybe back in the 50s, 60s, something like that. He was a student, I believe it was UCLA, might have been USC, but he was writing his either thesis or dissertation, and he was doing it on the Indian, Native American, their worship, their, you know, the spiritual side of how they live and all this other kind of stuff. Well, he went to Mexico and he came. He was looking for a man that he'd heard about. His name is Juan. Well, they call him Don Juan, D-O-N Juan. Now, in the mafia, the Don is like, you know, the godfather. Well, in that, in their religions out there, the Don is like the medicine man, okay, or the high priest or whatever. Well, he was looking for Don Juan. He finally found this guy. And in the books that Castaneda writes, he details what he was taught by Don Juan. And I am telling you, man, this is some heavy stuff. And in these books, he details how they learned to control and manipulate their dreams. And it is a method by which, you say, well, how do you know this? Because I read the first two or three books many, many years ago. And it's a method. At the time, I didn't realize what I was reading, but now as I look back on this, I know exactly what I was reading. This guy was doing the opposite of what we do through the Word of God, the Holy Ghost and everything. But what they do is they'll teach you how that you can control your dreaming to where you actually enter in the dream with conscious awareness of what's happening in the dream. And that you can manipulate the dream just as we are interacting here tonight in reality. You can create a reality in your dream and know what you're doing. You know, sometimes in dreams, it's like you know what you're doing, but you don't know what you're doing. The whole thing's goofy. Well, they teach you how to actually create a realm of reality in those dreams. The more that you do that, the more you're going to be able to enter into, I'll call it the spirit world, and interact with the spirits in that world. This is absolutely incredible stuff that goes on. Now, some people have dismissed his books, but from what I know from Scripture, I do not dismiss it. This guy had some real encounters. They enhance these encounters by chewing peyote buttons. Anybody heard of peyote? Okay. It's a hallucinogenic drug, only what he described, these weren't hallucinations. He had real encounters with spirits. And what he writes about, it's something that could have come straight out of Scripture from a negative connotation, okay? And the New Agers teach a similar philosophy, but they may not realize they're teaching the same kind of stuff. In New Age teachings, they teach you how to enter into the realm of the spirit to come in contact with your spirit guides so that you can receive direction from them. Now, this is a very dangerous thing because when you start getting into this, you've got to understand Satan's more than willing to accommodate anybody that wants to enter his world. And he will definitely let his devils get in touch with you. Well, it even goes as far as what you see here, astral projection, leaving your body through dreams and meditations. This is what is taught. A lot of people dismiss this. I heard a testimony one time of a rock. I don't even remember the fellow's name now. But nevertheless, he was a guitar player for a major rock band. And he talked about how that they were in a concert. And during the concert, they came to a particular song where he had a guitar solo. And he said it was the craziest thing, but, you know, I could leave my body and go up into the ceiling area of the arena and look down on the people and be up there and watch myself playing this guitar solo. Well, at the time, he didn't understand what was happening, but it was a demon. There was a devil that had, and he had left his body. Now, there are a lot of Christians that struggle with this, and this is what I'm trying to get at. As Christians, we do not understand as much about the realm of the spirit as a lot of these people out there that are worshiping the devil and don't even realize they're worshiping the devil. They understand how to interact with the realm of the spirit more than what we do. Now, let me give you, think about this for a moment. Peter, John, James, and Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration, correct? Who appeared? Moses and Elijah. These guys have been dead for years. But they appeared and they talked to Jesus. And what did they talk to him about? His coming crucifixion and what he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. And Peter, James, and John knew who was there. We don't have any record in the Bible that there was an introduction. You know, oh, hey, Peter, this is Moses, Elijah. This is Peter, James, and John. But they knew, and they said, maybe we should build a shelter, you know, for you and for them as well. There was something that happened. I can't explain it with natural words because I don't understand the magnitude of what happened. But something happened that day. Peter, James, and John saw Moses and Elijah. I don't know what God did to bring this about, but it happened. We read that passage in the Bible, and the magnitude of that event escapes us. But yet what happens today? You have people, New Age people, that teach each other how to have experiences in the realm of the Spirit that are real, not made up, real experiences. And the body of Christ sits back and, you know, poo-poos that kind of stuff and say, oh, it's just a bunch of weird stuff and all that. No, there's something happening. There's something taking place in all of this. Well, if we could understand, I mean, in a kind of an abstract way, use them as an example. If they understand these kind of things can happen, how much more should we? How much more should we understand that we can enter into a realm of the Spirit and have encounters with God? Now, I'm not saying it's going to get weird. We leave our bodies. You know what I'm saying? But what I am saying is this. We can have an experience with God that is just as real to us as some of these other things that are happening out on the other side. You know what I'm saying? When you get into what we've just described here, this last section, the spirit guides and the dream manipulation to contact the spirit stuff and all this other, that is when you're opening your heart and your mind to demonic forces. But listen, when you're praying in the Spirit, when you get in the Word and you're seeking God, and you begin to understand how God ministers and teaches us and communicates to us during dreams and through dreams, it is vital that we study this to understand it. How much have we missed in our lives by not understanding these things? There is a right and a wrong way to do anything relative to the Spirit. In this course, we're going to learn a right way, a scriptural way, to come to a better understanding of how to receive and understand communication from God in the area of our dreams. Praise the Lord. Now, Father, we thank you so much for your Word. Help us to understand more and more the value of our dreams. And as we go through this course, Father, may we understand how to become more sensitive to you as you communicate to us through dreams. Help us not to be wary or leery of this subject, but help us to embrace it because you've plainly said in your Word that you do communicate to us in dreams and in visions. And so we're hungry to know more about this, Father, hungry to receive more from you so that, Father, we will more clearly understand how you're communicating to us in this area. We love you, we honor you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.